Africana.
Your non-stop entertainment radio.
Yeah.
Eventbrite. We're on the air every Thursday, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Father, my God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, we thank you. We thank you. As the song says, Jesus be the name that gets all the glory. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Let your name get all the glory for everything in our lives. Let your name get the glory. Let your name get the glory in every situation and circumstance. Let your name get the glory. Oh, Father, we thank you. Jesus be the name that gets all the glory. Father, my God, we fix our hearts and our minds upon you, saying that you get all the glory. You get all the glory. You get all the glory. We fix our hearts and minds upon you, knowing that regardless of what is going on, the situation, circumstance, you get all the glory. If we fix our hearts and our minds upon you, Father, my God, we choose you. We choose you. We choose you. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, King of Kings. Thank you, Lord of Lords. Adonai, we praise your holy name. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. Jesus, get all the glory. Get all the glory. Get all the glory. Get all the glory. Get all the glory in our hearts, in our lives, in everything. Get the glory. Get the glory. Get the glory. Jesus, we will not share it, Father my God, but you get all the glory. You get all the glory. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We thank you, King of Kings. Jesus, we look to you. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, there's something that we're going to be looking at in regarding about the name. And I know we've mentioned about the names of God, but we have to realize that that's the name that gets the glory. So when something doesn't seem quite like it's going the way as planned, know that his glory is being revealed. His glory is being manifested in your lives. And glory, that means something unusual, something that is going to reflect God. If it was based on your ability and skill alone, then we can say that, wow, this is really good. You know, it's fantastic. Congratulations. But when God gets the glory, we are congratulating the Lord. We're saying that, God, you did it by yourself. When we've analyzed the situation, analyzed the circumstance, you did it all by yourself. And this is what we need to hold on to when we are activating the faith required. And there's a battle. Sometimes there's a battle in your heart, in your mind, in your confession. There is a battle for it. And we all have an area. You know, if someone says they don't have an area, they've not, they don't want to acknowledge it. They don't want to recognize it. Because there's no perfection in humanity. It's only the Lord that is perfect. He had no sin. He had no fault. He was perfect. When we look at all the people in the Bible, there was always something. But Jesus, there was nothing. He is perfect in all his dealings with everyone, with everything. Every situation and circumstance, there was a perfection behind it, you know. And when our imperfections meet that perfection, there is something beautiful when we allow it to happen that can be made manifest. Now, sometimes on that journey, is the enemy reminds us of things, and that's where the battle is the most. Sometimes you might find something is happening. Now, one of the things that I remember the Lord either saying yesterday or a few days ago, rewriting the story. So sometimes you come to a situation and your natural inclination is no. But the Lord might want to rewrite the story, rewrite it, so that that which is there in the memory, He rewrites the story to bring, you know, okay, thank you, Holy Spirit. You know where it says about the canker worms? Let's see if I can find it. About you know, that which has been destroyed in, you know, it's in 2 Joel 2. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I send among you. So that which has been, I'm going to read the message. I will make up for the years of the locust and the great locust devastation. Locust is savage. Locust is deadly. Fierce locust. Locust of doom. That great locust invasion I sent your way. You'll eat your fill of good food. You'll be full of praises to your God, the God who has set you back on your heels in wonder. Never again will my people be despised. You will know without question that I'm in the thick of life with Israel, that I am your God. Yes, your God, the one, the only real God. Never again will my people be despised. And that is something that, you know, I'm going to try and find a different translation, but if you're hearing in your heart, in your mind, like or you feel that you're on a cycle that things are repeating, I want you to write this down, because it says in the Bible, write it down, make it plain, so that those who read it can herald with it, can run with it. And we need to be able to run, even ourselves, with the vision, because we have a tendency to forget. You know, think life is busy, so it goes. Right, let me read another version. The Lord says, I will give you back what you lost to the stripping locust, the cutting locust, the swarming locust, and the hopping locust. Now, I have, I must have looked at this some, because I've got quite a bit of notes regarding it, and it's broken down into several parts. The swarming locusts come to block out the light, the vision, the path becomes hard. The hopping locusts, undeveloped faith, we start leaning on our own self and not on God. So things happen and then your faith gets dented. Stripping locusts, you might even thought maybe God didn't say that. Stripping locusts leave things bare you can feel empty, and even feel that God is not hearing you. You know, something happens, you just get to a place. Cutting locusts cut you off from people, and even can cut you from praying. Sometimes you can't fast, sometimes even the word you're reading, you're not getting that from it. So there's a lot there that happens. I will give you back what you lost. So what you lost in your vision, you get back. What you lost in your faith, that you think your faith diminished because of a situation, you will get back. What has made you feel empty, you're going to get back. What has made you feel isolated, you're going to get back. Now, this is a progression of things that happen. And it might, if even you can never even look at it, it's from the enemy, or you can look at it that God has allowed these things, but it's not taking you out. And God restores gently, because there's a lot of repair that needs to be done. You have to have, because something that is blocked a vision, you need vision. Some people say knowledge, vision, knowledge. You know, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. You perish as well for the lack of vision. Vision, insight, seeing where God is taking you. You can end up the wrong place. When your faith is not strong to carry you to that place that God is taking you, it needs developing. Things that leave you empty and bare. You know, feeling like hopeless, a sense of hopelessness. Now, you know, there's so many things that come up on Instagram, and there was one where this woman was saying about going again, that you did it in your own strength, you need to go again, you needed it, did it in your own ability, you need to invite God to go again, Aspects of that, yeah, okay, but not true for everyone. And I'm speaking to those people who have felt that, is there anything more I could have done? Is there anything more that I could have said that would have prevented these things? And God is saying, I want you to hold on to this Joel 2:25, knowing that he will give you back. But when he gives back, remember, we're in that place of no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive. It's greater than what you lost. It's a greater place. And the enemy might be whispering to you, well, you know, the last time this happened, this is what happened. I want you to not ignore it, but actually ask God to shine his light to the truth of that situation. Because when he shines his light, because the enemy has a way of covering things and making us feel maybe guilt, shame, disappointment, all sorts of things. But when the Lord shines his light, you might realize that, well, what you believe is true is not the full truth. That it's something in your mind, but it's not fully how the thing played out. The root of it might be disguised. You need to dig to the root of it so that you know, right, okay, maybe I planted it in this way and that way. I need to actually do it differently, or I need to do, but it's going to go stronger because maybe I've got more determined. you know, I need you to look at it differently, because the enemy can disguise things to make it look like it's this, but it's actually not. And I need you to actually believe that when it says, the Lord says, I will give you back what you've lost, that you will get back. You will get back, but it's not the same place. It's actually not the same position. So I don't want you to have an expectation that it's going to be exactly that. But I want you to realize that He will get the glory. He will get the glory. So this is the battle. This is why we've been talking about faith. This is the, you have to battle those things that are in your mind. You have to battle those things that maybe people say. You have to battle. And I want to encourage you not to actually take the way of escape, and escape from the process God is doing. Because sometimes someone might give you what I call a get out of free jail card. But it doesn't mean that it's actually from God. You might then be limiting that. Okay, thank you, Holy Spirit. You might act upon it, but that is flesh. That might be flesh, and that will then prevent you from getting the fullness of what God has in store for you. I'm reminded of a Moses who, you know, was supposed to talk to the rock. He hit the rock and all those things. But he did so many other things. You know, he did so many other things. But then there must have been something else going on. Maybe he was frustrated. Maybe he had fear. A lot of things. But he saw the promise, but he didn't enter in. That is not your portion in the name of Jesus. You're going to enter in. There's no opportunity lost with God. There's actually no opportunity lost with God. There's nothing that God discounts. There's nothing. He makes a way. He opens that door. He moves in a way that is beyond our imagination, expectation. And sometimes that is why, you know, the enemy doesn't know, but it wants to make sure that you don't choose that way. Now, we've been looking at faith. And what I've just shared is something that came up from that song, but there's other things that the Lord has been ministering to me about. And those of you that I called on the day that I got a download, I'm going to need the notes, because you know what I'm like. I can remember snippets. This is what sometimes happens. Something will be, the Lord will say something and it'll be pressed so much. So anyway, Genesis 21:1-2. Then the Lord did exactly what He had promised. Sarah became pregnant and she gave a son to Abraham in his old age. It all happened at the time God said it would, and Abraham named his son Isaac. So it all happened when at the time God said it would. Sarah became pregnant. Now, their expectation was it was going to happen earlier from when it was said. Some people say it's because of some choices they made with Hagar and things like that. But what I want to focus on is not the choices they made on the journey, but that it happened. Because God got the glory. It happened. It happened in a way that only God got the glory. that people around will have laughed with her and not laughed at her, because they will have known that for her to conceive, carry, and give birth, they didn't do C-section in those days. There was nothing like that. And give birth to the child, you know, and enjoyed having the child, didn't die after. Only God would get the glory. That in of itself made it worthy to be declared that, wow, look what the Lord has done. You know, and it happened. It was a physical manifestation of the promise. Now, the verse before, when the angels came, Sarah laughed, because some verses before it talks about the angels came, and it talked about how, you know, they were going to come and said this time next year, and it says that Sarah laughed. You know, sometimes when you hear a message that the Lord has for you, sometimes you look at yourself and you think, God, did you do a big mistake? And identity could be me. You might be looking at a different aspect of your life and God is declaring this. And you might just be thinking, wow, okay. But God places value in areas that the world may not place value. God has a value for you that you may not even be able to identify in yourself. And God will value you to a place that you've got to know that you're valuable. You have a value. You have a worth, because the price that Jesus paid for you is priceless. You are priceless. And that which that the Lord is doing is making him shine in your life, so you are shining for him. Now, I heard it said, and I really, really liked it, where it was that let my life reflect God. You know, if your life reflects God, you know, we can say that and it sounds very cute. But if your life reflects God, truly, break down, that means there's going to be a price to pay. Your wants, wills, emotion, everything like that is going to have to be nailed. And for God's glory to be reflected, so that when people need encouragement, they'll say, well, God did what was an impossible situation for this person. What can God not do for me? Now, everyone is different. Everyone is different. But I want us to hold on to that hope, to know that God is working a miracle in your life. In your life and through your life. Now, when the angels came that year before, Sarai laughed. And there was a sense of disbelief, or not wanting to believe. Maybe she didn't want to give her heart to the fact that, could it occur this time? We can want something to occur, but we have to shift our thinking to receive that which. And sometimes that spirit of disappointment comes to whisper and makes us afraid. So we want to stay in the place where it doesn't occur. And we settle there, well, you know, after. And then you can hear the excuses of, well, at your age, at your time. The enemy will play like a record what people have said in the past about you, said to you, you've overheard, what this has happened, that has happened, etc. And so the enemy plays that so we would agree with it. And I want us to get to that place to disagree. That even when you laugh of it and think, when the Lord highlights it, you say, no, God, no, no, I choose to believe. Now, Zechariah was silenced. So, you know, I'm going to look at Luke 1. Zechariah came to a place that the angels just thought, I'm just going to prevent you from talking because you might talk yourself out of something. I don't know. You know, and sometimes we might need to be like that. Just stop talking. It says, in the time of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. You're in the temple. You know, but it wasn't all the time that they will see an angel. Now, jumping to 13. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you call him John. They had prayed and prayed and prayed so much. Probably they, part of their minds, even though they kept praying and believing, maybe they didn't. It was a shock. Let's just say it was a shock when it happened. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man. Does this sound familiar? I'm an old man and my wife is well on in years. The angel said to him, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and I've been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. Wow. I'm going to read another. This is a living translate. It all begins with a Jewish priest, Zechariah, who lived when Herod was king of Judea. Zechariah was a member of the priestly order of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also from the priestly line of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all the Lord's commandments and regulations. They had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and now they were both very old. So the situation was telling them, you know, Elizabeth was barren. So the situation, our situation can speak to us so much that we, you know, that starts defining us. But I want to say that God is not limited by our situation. When he wants to do something, whatever he wants to do, it's not based on our situation. It's based on him doing it. So, though her situation of barrenness must have been shouting very loudly over the years, God didn't go, oh, she's barren, oh, wow. This is going to be hard. No, he just did it anyway. So whatever is telling you, oh, this is going to be hard, God moves anyway. That is why he gets all the glory. Okay, one day Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week. As was the custom of priests, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary and burn incense in the presence of the Lord. Now, many times they had bells and things around their waist or on them so people could know, right, they still, because the presence of the Lord was so holy that if one wrong move move, and that's it. They would drag the person out. So there was a lot that they would listen and write, okay, this person. There was such a reverential fear, you know, a reverential fear for entering the presence of the Lord. Sometimes we can be a bit like, somehow when we enter the presence of the Lord, we need to ask the Lord to help us to have that reverential fear. Anyway, I digress a bit. Okay. So one day Zachariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week. As was the custom of the priest, he was chosen by lot to enter sanctuary and burn incense in the Lord's presence. While the incense was burning, a great crowd stood outside praying. And Zachariah was in the sanctuary when an angel of the Lord appeared standing at the right of the incense altar. Zachariah was overwhelmed with fear. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zachariah, for the Lord has heard your prayer, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. And you will name him John." We're going to have a break. After the break, we're going to come back to this and other scriptures. We'll be back after the break.
You Adonai, you are our Lord. Hallelujah. Brusso manda. Cause at the mention of your name, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that you are Lord. Can you help us say that? Cause at the mention,
of your name, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that you are Lord.
You are Lord. Cause at the mention of your name,
every knee will bow,
every knee,
every tongue confess,
yeah,
that you are Lord.
Sickness has to bow, and at the mention of your name,
every knee,
every knee,
every tongue confess.
Yes, you are. Oh, cause Jesus,
Jesus, you are Lord. Oh, oh,
it's just that easy. Jesus, you are Lord.
Jesus, you are Lord.
Yes, you are.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
your sound is so sweet.
Jesus,
you are Lord.
Oh,
yes, you are.
Oh,
yeah.
At the mention of your name, the scales fall from their eyes. Once blinded eyes will see that you are Lord. So at the mention of your name, the scales fall from their eyes. Once blinded eyes will see that you are Lord.
Oh,
Together we say
Jesus,
go and invite him in.
Jesus,
he'll meet you at your need.
Jesus,
he's Lord over sickness.
Jesus,
sickness has to bow.
Jesus,
poverty is defeated.
Jesus,
'cause at the mention of his name, tremble.
Wow, 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 wow. At the mention of his name. Those who have ears, let them hear. We need to just call upon the name. Call upon the name, because at the mention of his name, every knee will bow. How often are we mentioning the name of Jesus? You know, people say the name Jesus, but not always in a positive way. But we need to say from a place of faith and prayer, you know, to call upon him. Now, we looked at Luke. Now it says, we're going to go on, because we're reading, it says, right, okay, Luke 1 and 18, Zachariah said to the angel, how can I know this will happen? I'm an old man now, and my wife is so well along in years. Then the angel said, I'm Gabriel, I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. And now, since you don't believe me, what I said, you won't be able to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly come true at the proper time. Now, when it says, meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zachariah to come out, wondering why he was taking so long. When he finally came out, he couldn't speak. Then they realized from his gestures that he must have seen a vision in the temporary sanctuary. He stayed at the temple until his term of service was over, then he returned home. Soon afterwards, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and went into seclusion for 5 months. How kind the Lord is, she exclaimed. He has taken away my disgrace of having no children. has taken away my disgrace. So that which didn't seem to happen, God took away. That which, you know, the canker worms, like it says in Joel, and I'm going to say Joel again. I had the Message translation. I will make up for the years of the locust, the great locust devastation. I'll make up for the years. So the times that you've been in the desert, the times things have happened, the times God is making up for those years. I will make up for those years. So years will have passed before these years are being made up for. So don't look at your age. Sarai said, you know, laughed and said she was old. You can see here, Elizabeth rejoiced. Zachariah said, I'm old. I am an old man now, and my wife is so well along in years. It's not about the number, your years here. It's about what God is doing for His glory to be revealed. It's about what God is doing. And I want us to really get on that point. Because this is where our faith needs activating. This is where our belief needs to just grow to another level. You know, in Romans 4:3, it says, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Credited. Now, if we look at a credit card, things are credited. It's placed into your account. Another verse says, for the scriptures tell us Abraham believed God, so God declared him righteous. So declared, something added to, something said about you is righteous. Right, I'm going to put it, the Romans 4, part of it is the faith of Abraham. Abraham was humanly speaking, the founder of our Jewish nation. I'm reading from Romans 4, verse 1. What were his experiences concerning this question of being saved by faith? Was it because of his good deeds that God accepted him? If so, he would have had something to boast about. But from God's point of view, Abraham had no basis at all for pride. For the scriptures tell us, Abraham believed God, so God declared him to be righteous. When people work, their wages are not a gift. Workers earn what they receive, but people are declared righteous because of their faith, not because of their work. So it's not in your ability. And I want us to actually get that. It's not in your doing. It's you believing that God is going to do. And that which you're believing God for, I want you to hold on to it, because He is going to do it. I don't know how. There are things I'm believing God for. I actually don't know how. But I'm choosing to believe He will do it. And there's some choices I have to make. And in the natural, it doesn't look like it's going to, I don't know how, but I'm choosing He's going to do it. And I want you to make that choice too. I want you to make that choice. Involve Him in everything. Even if you have the answer, involve Him and ask Him, because He wants to be really involved in our lives. Father, my God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, increase our faith to believe You. That even when we haven't started to see the physical manifestation of the promise, that we will keep quiet and actually wait for you to start that which you've declared over us. Father, my God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, we want to speak your truth and not the situation. Want to speak your way and not the situation. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise, for you are a really good God and your mercy endureth forever. We've come to the end of the program, and I just want to thank you for joining. We've not really finished the things, but we're going to look more into it. And I want you to get excited, because we're that close to Christmas. I can hardly wait. You know, it's a time for us to truly reflect on the true meaning of it all. Don't get carried away with everything, but on the true meaning of it all. Until next week, have a blessed and glorious week, and bye for now.
And we've made God, we've worshipped idols that have no power, that have shed no blood. And we destroy.